Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 100. I left our conference with a thankful heart. That's how I left our conference. A thankful heart and an encouraged heart. It was so wonderful seeing our brethren. I enjoyed that. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed seeing all of our brethren together again. It had been a long time since I had been with that many brethren. We fellowshipped around the Word. We fellowshipped around the preaching of the gospel. And I was just thankful for it. Very thankful. And because I had that mindset, when I got to my study Monday to start looking for tonight's message, I on purpose turned to Psalm 100. This hardly never happens. Normally I will go somewhere to start reading and start looking, and you'll go somewhere else, and but I went to Psalm 100 because I had this happiness in my heart. This is what I was feeling in my heart. And I thought, let me start with Psalm 100. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Joyful, gladness, singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Happy, happy, joyful, thankful. That's a good psalm to be in if you feel that way. If you're ever feeling that way and you want to read a psalm, go right there. But while I was looking at this psalm, I believe the Lord zeroed me in on verse 3. And I read something that brought great comfort to me and truly made me happy. If in the mindset of all of this happiness and thankfulness and joy, and I believe that you're about to enter in to what I'm going to say. If in the midst of all of this happiness and all of this thankfulness and all of this joy, if you still find yourself in a place where you need some comfort and you need some help, or anything that may be going on in life. You know, I feel like a conference, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. But I personally feel like a conference is a break from the reality of life for a minute. You know, you work, 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 and then Friday night gets here, and brethren start coming in, and you're just so happy to see everybody, and you're just hugging people, and just everything is just wonderful, and it's a break from the reality of life for just a minute. You know, we did it Friday. Let's come back tomorrow morning and do it again. We're going to come back and do it again. You just get this break, all right? But if when the conference is over, and I've titled this message, When the Conference is Over, and we can use our conference, but it doesn't matter what it is. It has you just up. Sometimes you're just up. You're just high on life. Everything's great. And then all of a sudden, it's over. If, when the conference is over, reality sets back in, and you find yourself in a place where you need some comfort, you know what I'm talking about. Just sky high, and then all of a sudden, I need some comfort. And I need some help, and I need some encouragement. If you find yourself in that place, I believe the Lord has provided some of that for us right here in this verse. If the Lord will let us enter into this, we'll make a joyful noise to Him. If you need any help from the Lord for any reason, then look at this right here. Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Know ye. Know ye. I want to know this, and I want you to know this. I want us to know this. Ask the Lord to reveal this to us and teach this to us. Know ye. Know ye. As though that's saying, Selah. Just pause right there for a minute. Ponder this. Let this settle in. Be convinced of this. Be convinced of this. I'm talking to myself because I am, but I'm not. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Be assured of this. Know the certainty of this. Others may not know this, but know ye. You know this. May God truly teach all of us this. Verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Hold your place and turn over to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Know that. Know that. Be still and know that. Can we enter into that, really? Can we be still and enter into that? Whatever is troubling us, and some of you may not be troubled, some of you may be. But if we're not troubled, we're about to be. That's just the way it is. We either were troubled, are troubled, or we're about to be troubled. And whatever is troubling us, whatever is making us anxious, whatever is making us worried, this is what He says. Be still and know that I am God. And back in our text in Psalm 100, David said in verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." The Lord said, "I am." David said, "He is." And we say that too, don't we? He is. He is. We say that. May we believe it. May we trust it. Verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Who is God? He is God. A person is God. A person is God. A person. One of these days we're going to enter into this person, really. One of these days we're going to see this person. A person is God. A person. Who is this person? This person is a man. He is God. "Come see a man. Behold the man. The Lord is a man." Jesus Christ is His name. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifested in the flesh. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Who? The King. The King. The only wise God, the King. I've told you before about that false preacher who I heard pray. And, But he closed his prayer to God. He was praying to God, and he closed his prayer by saying, whoever he or she may be. Well, we know who God is by his grace. We know who God is. God is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. God, the sovereign God. Is anything troubling you? Really? Really, you don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to raise your hand. But is anything troubling you? Is anything worrying you? For your comfort, for your help, for my help? Let's know that the Lord, he is God. He is God, the sovereign God, the all-controlling God, the almighty God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. He is the all-knowing God. He already knows. Is anything troubling you? He already knows. He already knows. He's the God who only does right. Know this. Rest in it. I'm worried about this. I'm just worried about this. Well, he is God, the sovereign God, the all-knowing God, who only does right. Rest in it. Know this. Rest in it. Romans 8:28 is just as true today as it was the day that the Spirit of God inspired Paul to write it. We know. Know this. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. I mean God. God Almighty. To them who are the called according to his purpose. It is all on purpose. There has never been anything that has happened that is not on purpose. I told you I texted Brother Greg yesterday to be an encourager. I wanted to encourage him, tell him we're praying for you and the brethren. And his response to me was an encouragement to me. He was the one who responded, God is sovereign in these things. Our God is the ruler of these things. It's all on purpose. It's all on purpose. This is all on purpose. Everything that happens is on purpose. Everything that happens. Know that. I'm talking to myself. Know that. Rest in it. Just rest in it. Verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. He made us. He made us. Of his own will begat he us. That's what James 1:18 says. Of his own will begat he us. With the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He made us of his own will. Therefore, we bow to his will. We bow to his will. He made us. He made us. We bow to his will. Whatever providence he brings our way, whatever providence he brings our way, sovereignly, all-knowingly, rightfully, purposefully, wisely, we bow to it. He made us. It's not unto us. It's unto him. It's not our will, it's his be done. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. He made us, and he bought us. Like that story of that little boy in Mexico who lost his kite. I love that story. He lost his kite, and the store owner found it and put it on his shelf for sale. And if the little boy was going to get the kite back, he had to buy it for 2 pesos. So he did. And as he was walking out, he was hugging that kite, saying, "You're mine. You're twice mine. I made you, and I bought you." That's good news. We're not our own. Verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." We are not our own. We didn't create ourselves. We didn't get ourselves to the place where we are today. We did not create ourselves. And we did not get us to the place where we are today. You know, you attain some things, and you start out in life trying to get stuff. And then you finally get some stuff, and you end your life trying to not lose all your stuff. We didn't get us where we are today. We're not the ones who will keep us where we are today. We can't protect ourselves. We can't protect the place that we're in. We're completely at his mercy. We're completely at his mercy. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, it says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" That's us worrying. That's us being anxious and being troubled. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to be clothed with? Verse 32 says, "After all these things to the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow." I'm worried about tomorrow. Usually we are worried about tomorrow. "Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What that's saying is our Lord is in control, and we're not. He's in control of all things, and we're not. We can't do anything about anything. It's not in our hands to do anything about anything. But for our comfort, let's know this. We don't need to do anything about anything. We don't even need to worry about anything. We can take no thought over it. Wouldn't you love to do that? Wouldn't you love to have the faith that just took no thought over it? It's the Lord. It's according to his will. It's according to his sovereign purpose. Take no thought over it. We can take no thought over the things that concern us. No thought. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why we can and we should and we can take comfort in doing so. It's because we have a heavenly Father who we belong to. You parents don't have the ability to do what you hope to do for your children, but if you did, you could tell them, don't worry about it. You're going to be provided for. You're going to be safe. You leave it up to me. Well, we have a heavenly Father who can do everything about it. We belong to Him, and He knows. He knows us. He knows what things we have need of. For our comfort, we need to know this. That means we need to believe this truly. He knows everything we have need of. He has promised to supply it to us, everything we have need of. All we need to do is look to Him. Seek Him, seek His righteousness first. Everything will be taken care of. Go with me back to Psalm 100. Verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. That's good news. If we need some comfort, then listen to this right here. We are His people. We are His people. Chosen in Christ, delivered by Christ, called to Christ. We are His people. We're His people. Covered under His blood, clothed in His righteousness, protected in His arm. We are His people. We're His people. Verse 3 says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. Troubles will only be for a little while. They'll only be for a little while. Sorrow will only endure for the night, our time on this earth. Joy is coming in the morning. This place right here is not our continuing city. This earth, this world, we're headed to green pastures of His rest. It is right around the corner. Know that. You get to that place where you say with David, I think I'm about to faint. I don't think I can make it. Know that. Green pastures of His rest are right around the corner. Just be still and know that. Let's all be still. Be still, my soul. And know that. If God will cause us to truly know that everything that He has ordered for us, everything concerning us in this life, all of it is right, all of it is settled, and all of it is perfect. If He will cause us to know that, everything concerning us is right, settled, and perfect. All of it works together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If we can truly know that, then we will. And this is so. If we can truly know that, then we will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. No matter how difficult a trial may be, no matter how sorrowful something may be, we will make a joyful noise unto the Lord, as verse 1 says. If we can know these things concerning our God, then we will serve the Lord with gladness, as verse 2 says. We will. No matter what our providence is, we'll be glad in it. No matter what our providence is, we'll be glad in it. If we truly know this about our God, we'll be glad in it. And we will come before His presence with singing, as verse 2 says, no matter what it is. We will come in here together before His presence with singing. We will, as verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We'll give thanks. if the Lord will cause us to know this about Him, we will enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and we will enter into His courts with praise. We will praise Him for everything He's done. We will cry, and we'll mean it, the judge of the earth has done right. In all things He's done right. And we will, as verse 4 says, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. No matter what the providence is, that means no matter what He sends our way. When we say no matter what the providence is, that means no matter what He sends our way, we'll thank Him for it. We'll bless His name for it. And it's because we will know. We will know this. Verse 5 says, the Lord is good. We'll know that. Everything He does concerning us is good. Everything He does concerning us is good. Everything He does concerning His people is good. Somebody says, why would something happen this way? Why would things go, you know, the way that they would go? If I'm sick, why would He not heal me? Or why? It's because that way, the way of my thinking, was not perfect. It was not the best way. It was not the good way. He only does what is good concerning His people. Verse 5 says, the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. You want something to be joyful over and be thankful for and praise His name and bless His name for? It's in the fact that His mercy is everlasting, brand new every morning. You ever wake up in the morning begging God for mercy one more time? Could you please cover my sin in Your mercy one more time? Even though You covered it on the cross, You covered it eternally and it's finished. In my heart and in my mind, I'm still sinning against You, and I need mercy. It's brand new every morning. He has infinitely more mercy for us than we have sinned against Him. I'm going to say that one more time. He has infinitely more mercy for us than we have sinned against Him. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. His truth will endure to all generations. Us, our children, our children's children. He said, know this. Know this. For comfort, for help, for encouragement, know this. Let's all know this. May the Lord teach us this right here. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Thank God. May that pick us back up every time we find ourselves in a place when the conference is over. Every time, and that's a daily experience. Every day the conference is over. Every time. May the Lord pick us back up through knowing that He's our God, the sovereign God. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. He's good to us. He loves us. We can make a joyful noise to Him. I pray the Lord might create a conference in our hearts through His Word and His Spirit. Every time we need Him, by His Word and His Spirit, Lord, create that joy in us. Let's all stand together. Turn with me to 355.